So yeah, this talk is about the future of GTK, where we want to go. We had a Hackfest in April, where we sat down and not only merged all the awesome new widgets that Matthias introduced in the last talk, but also talked about the future and how we see things going. And I'm now presenting my ideas for how I think things are going. I presented them to everybody else, and so far nobody complained. I hope this will change in this talk from the core developer. But so for a wider consumption is what we think, where we want to go in the future, and how things will be in the next years, and what GTK is going to be. I will first talk about the technical things, like what features do we want in GTK next. Then about the practical, I called it practical because I didn't find a better word, is what kind of toolkit is GTK going to be? Because there's a difference between Qt and HTML and GTK and all these other toolkits. And I'll talk briefly about GTK 3 versus GTK 2. And the question that looms everywhere, is there going to be a GTK 4, and when is it going to be there? And what's it going to be about? So let's start with the technical. Yeah, this is important. This is not a roadmap. This is what we think we want to do next. So all the things I present here are still so abstract that we don't know how they will look in code, and we don't even know if a year from now we will still want those. But for now, we want them. The first one is Clutter. If you were at Emmanuel's talk this morning, he introduced his ideas and the way he sees things going forward. So I probably shouldn't say much more about it. I agree with him. Go for it. But yeah, the general thing is we want to have the features that Clutter had and be able to use them, not just make application developers able to use them from inside GTK applications. We also want to use them to create our own widgets and have them look like modern widgets. This is part of what Emmanuel said in the morning. I'll repeat that. It requires the idea to go from the current way when you draw a widget in GTK, you just have a draw function that draws everything. It like modifies a bunch of variables, then draws this, then modifies the variables again, then draws that, then modifies the variables again, then draws that. So you don't know anything about what you've just drawn. And you, if you want to know, is the mouse over this stuff that I drew there or that stuff, you have to compute that yourself, and everything gets really complicated. So instead, we want to have actors, ideally Clutter actors, that we can use instead, that we keep around, and that do all this stuff automatically for us. And that should make it easy to write complex widgets with lots of things that you can move around on screen and still track easily if the mouse is on what part of what actor. It also makes it easy for the theming guys to style these things, because we want to make our actors conform to the CSS stuff that we've written the previous years, so that you can then add borders to them, add padding and margins, and set font sizes for every single element. Again, great if we had it. Nobody's writing it yet, but we're seriously thinking about it. I have a branch where I experimented with it, Nyanket progress bars. Gestures. Our input system is still essentially the X input system. So when you want to handle something with the mouse that is more complicated than a button press or pressing to double click, like even a long press, you have to track time and add a timeout somewhere and then wonder what happens, and you need to remove the timeout if your widget gets hidden or if the mouse moves, and things like that are really complicated. And for common interactions that people do, both with the mouse and even with touch, like imagine what you need to do if you want to have a two-finger swipe to the left. You need to track touch down events for one finger and for the other finger, and then you need to check if they move in the same speed, in the same direction, and if one of the fingers leaves the screen, do you then make that... Do you then abort the gesture or not? And all these complicated stuff that you would need to think about, and that it makes it really, really complicated to track all these complicated gestures that are so simple on these other devices, you wouldn't want to do that manually on every widget. So we want to have objects that you can just throw at it and say, dear button, please have a click gesture. And then the click gesture does everything, and you just connect it to your button, and when somebody clicks on it, you will get a this gesture was just done signal, and that's it. On top of that, we want to have that with widgets that if one widget doesn't handle it, the next widget can, because if you want to do scrolling on top of other widgets, then the scrolling needs to happen. So there's a bunch of complicated input stuff that we want to do, that we're seriously thinking about, that we have. Carlos Ganacho is ill, I was told. Carlos has been working on that. I have been working on it. I think Matthias is looking at it. Alex has been looking at it. I've talked to Owen about it. We all have ideas of how that might or might not work. But ideally, it should be so simple to just say, this widget is listening to a swipe to the left or right. Tell me when there was one. And then you can do stuff like swap to the next, flip to the next page. So those are our technical long-term goals. It's still a lot of work, but stuff is slowly happening, moving into the right direction. Also, if anybody wants to come and work on these, be my guest. Talk about it with me on IRC. I like people experimenting with this crazy stuff. Gives me new ideas, gives other people new ideas, and sometimes something turns out very simple. We just put clutter in GTK. Okay, why not? So, the practical part of the talk is, I gave a talk asking a bunch of questions about what GTK is about 2 years ago at the Boston Summit. Since then, I've talked to many people about what they think, told them what I think is reasonable, and compiled answers to it. These are not necessarily the answers I like, so don't shout at me for being a stupid person because I want it that way. I think those are the answers that are the correct answers to the questions I posed back then. And I want to put them out because I think we use those as a guidance of how we want the toolkit to develop and how we want to make things happen. Like if somebody thinks GTK should do this, I want to tell them, no, I don't think this is the right thing because of this practical decision that we made. Okay, let's get to them. First one is OS and backend support. Like, how many backends do we support? What kind of operating systems do we support? How well do we support them? Like, do we care that every feature that we add is available on every operating system and backend that we support? Or how do we do that? So I think we have one primary thing backend that we support. And backend in this case means GDK backend. Currently, this is X11. In the future, that will most likely be Wayland. We'll have a bunch of other backends, but the other backends have to make work with what we give them. Like, if we write an API that works, our API will work well on Wayland. And that is the primary goal. Like, GDK will be an abstraction that is great on Wayland. It should definitely be okay on everything else, like X11, Broadway, Windows, Quartz, whatever somebody else comes up. I still hope for a KMS backend so we can easily port the shell to be a Wayland compositor, but nobody has written one. I like lots of backends, but if we ask a question, how do we implement this feature, we will look at Wayland, how does Wayland do it, and then emulate it everywhere else. Or currently, we look at X11 and then emulate it everywhere else. Like, to take a good example, when we implemented the frame clock for 3.8, we implemented the frame clock on X11, and Owen did lots of work to figure out, is it implementable on everything else? In particular, how does it look on Wayland, of course. But then he implemented it in a way that was good for X. And for the people that don't have a frame clock, we just use an idle source that ticks every 60 milliseconds and we're still fine. Or for the ones where it's not implemented, I think Windows uses the idle source too. So. Might have been fixed by now, it's just... We make sure it works on X11 and can be implemented and works okay everywhere else, but those set the rules. This is the reason for that is that if we made sure it works really well everywhere, we would be so far behind on these platforms until we fixed everything in GDK that that supporting a new feature on that platforms would take way too long. I'll come to that when I talk about platforms, which is a kind of different thing later, but the general thing is work there, make sure stuff works. It doesn't have to be perfect. Like, if you don't have any frame synchronization, you probably can live with it. Make sure it's possible to implement it if the platform supports it in a reasonable way. Like, we try to make our APIs not that they're just X11. We try to abstract them in a way that they can be implemented everywhere. But if we have to choose either X11 or everything else, we will choose X11. The good news is we're currently in the process of switching from X11 to Wayland, so we're currently having a very great abstraction that accommodates two very important backends. So it's easier than ever to write new ones. So if you want to experiment with something like an Android backend, like a KMS backend, now's the best time to do it. Please don't write another DirectFB backend. Form factor. This is the question of what size of devices do we care about? Do we want to run on small mobile devices? Do we want to run on devices without a floating point unit? Do we want to run on only on supercomputers? What devices do we run on? And I think this question has been answered last quarter already, that GNOME focuses on laptops. So we will be focusing on laptops. The nice thing is that there is lots of devices that are very similar to laptops, like form factor, there's tablets that have a screen that looks like the laptop screen and have very similar CPU power and memory. But if we have to decide, like, how big do we make the file chooser, we will not make sure the file chooser fits into a 320 by 240 screen. We will just go with a regular laptop size. And we'll also make sure it looks good if it's sized to something like 1,000 pixels. input devices. How are people going to input stuff? There's the touch question that has always come up. And the answer for that is still, because laptops obviously, mouse and keyboard. Laptops are gaining touch support, so expect people to look at touch support more and more. But also, back from the technical stuff, without the gestures, it is really complicated currently to make something complex like even a swipe handled without adding lots of extra variables to your private widget, private structure. We're trying that in the scroll window, and the scroll window code is, you can look at it, it's in Git. This is an interesting one. You can either decide to be the platform, to define the platform, or to try to integrate with existing platforms. Like you can say, GTK tries very hard to be a platform neutral toolkit, tries to look like a KDE application on KDE, tries to look like an OS X application on Quartz, tries to look like a Windows application on Windows, and tries to look like a GNOME application on GNOME. That's the easy one. And tries to look like an XFCE application on XFCE, and tries to look like a Mate application on Mate. Tries to look. Anyway. I think we want to be a platform first and to integrate second. That means a good example with that is, let's say an interesting example with that is middle mouse paste. You know that you can select text and then use the middle mouse button to paste it anywhere else. On KDE, you can do that. On GNOME, you could do that, but GNOME decided to disable it. So somebody wrote a patch and to remove it from GTK. That didn't go well with lots of even GNOME users, I think. It's turned off by default on Ubuntu currently and on Mageia. Fedora has it still. Do we still have it turned on, or is it only in the next release? I don't know. Next release. So from next Fedora release, you cannot middle mouse paste anymore. You need to use Control C, Control V. Why? You need to ask the people that decided that. That wasn't me. That's the good excuse that I have. And it's a different discussion to my talk, so you need to find the right people. I'm not sure, was it John, Alan, some of the designers decided it. Some of the engineers as well. Not me! It's a good example of where I want to say, I think we need to be a platform first and decide we don't want to do something, even though there are platforms that do it, because it's bad to support these things when nobody of the core developers is ever going to test them. And also, when people write applications, they're not going to test the case where this platform feature is different. So they will sometimes even depend on this platform feature being set one way or the other way. Like somebody might decide, hey, the middle mouse button on an entry doesn't do anything. I will add a feature to my entry that acts on the middle mouse button. And suddenly that feature doesn't work on Ubuntu because Ubuntu turns the middle mouse button on and pastes text. To get back to the example. Of course, if it's possible to integrate, and it's not very hard and it's not very confusing, we want to do that. Like, sometimes we even go out of the way because we think it's really important, like the menu work that Ryan did, where your menu can be in the title bar like it is in GNOME Shell. The full menu can be in it, like in Unity or in KDE, you still have it in your window. Sometimes we think it's important, but if we are in doubt, we will be the platform first. And the platform that we are is, of course, the GNOME platform, because most of the people that develop GTK are GNOME hackers, which means that if we have to argue with XFCE developers about their platform being different, sure, if we can integrate with their ideas, but we're a platform first. But of course, and that goes back to the question that you asked, we want to work everywhere. There's, of course, reasonable limits, like we will probably not work on a Commodore or a 64. But like if somebody has an old Solaris box and wants to run a GTK3 application on that, it would be nice if we could do that. And I think we still do that. Like we have support for X11 core protocol features that have been in the X server. We can run with features that have been in the X server for 10 years and don't need anything new. So we're trying to keep it that way. It's also great for debugging, by the way. But we want to run everywhere. We want to run on all operating systems, on all platforms. We definitely want to keep running on KDE, like you don't want your GNOME application to crash, but we also want to run on old machines that you have somewhere with FVM or whatever. So that means if you propose a new feature that FORS requires the greatest OpenGL extension ever, I will probably complain. This one is an interesting one too. Like, the developers that use GTK, what kind of application are they developing? Are they developing these smallish apps? Like, my favorite example is always GNOME clocks, because that's just a bunch of clocks. Or are they developing huge applications like LibreOffice, Inkscape, or the GIMP? And the answer to this one, which you can almost guess if you have been at Matthias' talk, is we focus on small apps. The new widgets that we edit make it really easy to write a small app that looks the way that the GNOME designs have panned out. It's really easy to write small apps. And that is because the people that work on the toolkit, like, are GNOME guys, and GNOME is focusing on small apps. We want to make it easy to have an app store, listen to Leonard's talk, where people write smallish apps, and we want to make it easy for them to push them onto the desktops. There also is the case that the big applications usually write their own toolkit or add a lot of bells and whistles and own widgets. And so, like, LibreOffice is the best example. It's built, or Firefox, it's built on top of GTK, but they only open a window and then draw everything themselves. Like, they try to call into the theming layer, maybe, of GTK, but they're not using real GTK widgets. And even applications like Inkscape have lots of their own widgets. So if we were to go and add a docking widget to GTK, probably the GIMP guys would complain that it doesn't look like the GIMP docking behavior, the Inkscape guys would complain that it doesn't look like the Inkscape docking behavior, and then nobody would use it. So the way this has worked out is that small app developers are currently running the GTK development, so we're focusing on small apps. Yes, that of course makes life harder for authors of real applications, big applications. What? And defining the difference is so. It's a spectrum. Like, there's applications that are small and tiny that obviously are like GNOME docs, and there are ones that are big. But So Epiphany was an example that when I wrote this talk and presented it to Matthias, that Matthias brought up. I think, to me, Epiphany is a small app, because Epiphany is essentially the Chrome around WebKit. And if you take WebKit, WebKit doesn't use GTK at all. Like, WebKit has no widgets in it. And if you take that out, it's just a few buttons and that's it. Like, compared to the amount of widgets that you have in a regular GIMP window, where all these settings and layout dialogues and layout dialogues and settings and this and that, and it's just nothing compared to it. I would give you the definition. If the hardest part of porting the application is porting all the dialog boxes, then it's a big application. Which was the big thing for the LibreOffice guys, it's a big thing for the numeric guys, and I imagine it's a big thing for the GIMP guys too. But again, it's something we're looking more at the smallish side and not at the big side. This might change next year, because suddenly lots of developers show up that want to make a really awesome PTV and they need a really great toolkit, and then suddenly we have timeline widgets and whatnot. But for now, the developers focus on small apps. There's always people making jokes, but sometimes being serious, saying, why should I use GTK 3? I have a GTK 2 application and it's awesome. Should I still use GTK 2? Should I port to GTK 3? We have been very clear from the beginning that we want everybody to port to GTK 3. We like GTK 3. We think GTK 3 is awesome. But in recent times, I've kind of started to doubt that. Because GTK 2 is stable, doesn't change. Like, every change that happens there, even if it's just a simple bug fix, has a high chance of breaking some application somewhere. And it's essentially boring. But there are people out there that like a toolkit that is stable, unchanging, and boring. There's people there that say, well, we're targeting RHEL 5. And RHEL 5, I recently learned, has GTK 2.10. GTK 2.10 already has Cairo, doesn't have client-side Windows yet, so it's very, very old. If you write an application that is targeting GTK 2.10, you're probably doing yourself a disservice if you're porting it to GTK 3, because suddenly you have another port that you need to maintain. Unless, of course, you want to take advantage of all the great features of GTK 3 and want to integrate really well into GNOME. But if you want to integrate really well into GNOME, you have to keep up with GNOME anyway, because GNOME is still changing rather quickly. And sure, if you want to do that, and if you like that, and you have the manpower, port to GTK 3. But if you're more busy porting your favorite application to AutoTools and removing millions of lines of loading code for outdated file formats, well, then it might be better to keep using GTK 2. Also, GTK 3, and this is one of the things, GTK 3 is very unstable. People always come to me and say, well, you're doing API breaks, you're doing ABI breaks. And I always say, we're bold. We're trying things and seeing if we can get away with it. Like, a clutter integration is not something that happens without a hiccup. I suppose it doesn't happen without a hiccup. I don't know how much of a magician Emmanuel is, but probably. I mean, we've managed quite a bit of things. I'm actually quite happy with how little we broke stuff with all the things that we introduced, like the CSS rendering changed the way we do themes for 3 releases, and applications still looked okay. And I'm also quite happy that all the GNOME developers that write more complex applications keep up with us, and when we introduce frame clocks and they have been done syncing in some ways, they adapt their applications that suddenly deadlock. So that's great, and we like that we can be bold. Of course, if we're bold, and you know from the technical changes that we want to have that we probably need to be bold, like if we want to introduce gestures and redo our input system, there might be things happening to people that care about input more than the usual person that just cares about clicks, like the GIMP, for example. So we like that we can be bold because it enables us to do things. Which brings us to GTK 4. When are we going to do GTK 4? Why are we going to do GTK 4? When? I don't know. Because I don't think Emmanuel knows how long it takes to do the clutter stuff. I have no idea if this extra stuff works, and if so, how long it takes. And we want those things ideally before we do GTK 4, because we want to get the GTK 2 advantages of being boring and stable in particular. We want to have those back. We'd like to have a toolkit that is modern, that works on touch and has all these great advantages, but that is also stable and that we can tell people with a huge application. If you port now, this application will run unchanged without problems 5 years in the future. I think this is one of the goals that we have with GTK 4. The other one is how long can we be bold until our application developers throw rocks at us for breaking random stuff? They're already, of course, everybody always throws rocks when they find a bug that it's a balance that we need to keep, of course, because they also want touch support, but we definitely shouldn't break their applications when we implement it, and it should work out of the box, and they should, like an application developer, will need to change nothing and touch will work perfectly, ideally. And if it doesn't, they throw rocks. And then we throw the rocks back, and as long as we still have a chance of winning that game, we will be trying. But in the end, I think we want to get GTK into the stability that GTK 2 had. I would like to then do a new major release, get rid of all the deprecated APIs, and then try to be a lot more careful what we do and advertise GTK 4 as we're done with the bold core changes for a bit. But as you've seen in the beginning, we're not there yet. And as long as you let us, we will keep trying. That's that. Questions?
As a contributor to GTK, even a small one, I've had a couple of widgets go into the toolkit. I think that the main interest in having widgets inside GTK is they need to be widely used. We need to be able, off the cuff, to name half a dozen applications that would use that particular widget for it to be useful. And what we try to do while working on those widgets is also make sure that they match the GNOME designs. So that means that the behavior and the look and feel of the new widgets should match the designs, and that makes it that much easier to write applications that do the right thing.
Yes, there's something I didn't talk about with it. I actually like a lot is the way that we currently develop the new widgets and the kind of widgets we develop. Like they require a certain behavior from your application to use those widgets, so we kind of nudge you in the right direction if you use those widgets, and that your application looks kind of okay without lots of input from people in advance doing mock-ups and things like that. And those widgets mature in libraries that are used in GNOME, like libgd. And sometimes they make it, and then they get reviewed, and we answer the accessibility. We usually fix accessibility issues already in libgd because we use the widgets in GNOME. And sometimes they don't make it, and then they end up in those few applications that actually use the widgets. Sometimes the widgets even diverge into the different applications that use them. And the nice thing so far is that the widgets that have shown up in GTK are A, really useful for a lot of applications. B, the APIs actually are well thought out, and the widgets are known to work because they have been used in that way for a while in under a different name. So yes, I like that very much. So if you have a widget that you think lots of applications are using as a GNOME developer, get in touch with Bastian. Cosimo has been doing that too. LibGD is one of the cases. I don't know what the ActListBox had its own repository, but that's, does that still exist? There's still the Flowbox in there. So there's a bunch of repositories that we have that you can also use if you want to try those widgets, but they, of course, don't have GTK's API guarantees, I think. So if you're not a GNOME developer, your choice. But it's definitely interesting to look at them from time to time to figure out what's brewing. Don't you have your own?
You spoke a little bit about the backends that you want to support, but you didn't really talk about what might be on the other side. So a lot of people are saying GTK is rapidly becoming the GNOME toolkit. How do you view things like XFCE or LXDE that want to use GTK but maybe don't want to use all the GNOME paradigms?
So that's what I said. We want to be a platform first and integrate second. So if you want to use GTK to be your own platform, but a platform that is very different from GTK, you'll get complaints from me for doing all those setting patches somewhere. I mean, if you want to use GTK, you kind of are in a place where you use GTK. So you either become a GTK developer and push the toolkit in a different direction. I can tell you from experience that takes quite some effort. Or you have to take, I'm not saying you have to take what we give you, but you have to talk to us and have to be prepared to get a no. Yes, I mean, if you want to write a platform that uses GTK as the toolkit, you better participate in GTK somehow to guide GTK to be the toolkit that you want it to be. Otherwise, GTK will be the GNOME toolkit because the GNOME people do that.
Is this just a theoretical concern, or is there a practical, because as far as I can tell, both XFCE and LXDE are just clones of Windows 95, and we kind of support that in the menu system. And, I mean, is there actually any design coming from that, or
there is different? There is questions coming up, but the they are very careful to say it like that. Like one of the things is when we did the places sidebar. The places sidebar, should the places sidebar have an entry for desktop? Because we don't show the desktop in GNOME. but the desktop gets shown in Ubuntu and XFCE and LXDE, so the file chooser have an entry for the desktop. That was one of the questions that showed up that I remember. Yeah, let's. Right.
Just like check on the existence of a desktop folder. Do we still ship a desktop folder in GNOME even though we don't?
We check for the existence for completeness, but in reality, it should be an exception telling you show this or don't show this.
Yes, okay. The desktop needs to tell you. Like on Windows, you probably want one for the desktop folder. And on OS X, you probably want one too. Do they still have a desktop or is that turned off now?
The people you get making the GNOME toolkit comments are not just talking about design, though. They're also talking about like the approach to especially the pace of the development. And you know, we change things, we make sure it mostly works with GNOME applications, and then...
That is what I said with the be bold thing. Like, we still are bold. We think we still want to be bold because we still don't have touch support, and we still don't have GL support. And we want those things. And everybody wants us to have those things. Even the people that complain that we are not stable are saying, you should be stable and also have these features. Like this, I don't think there is anybody right now that says, GTK as it is today looks awesome. Let's freeze it and never touch it again, and then we write applications against it. We're still somewhere in the process where we don't think we're there yet. I would like us to be there sooner rather than later, but it's work and somebody has to do it and it doesn't happen itself. And that's all I can say about it. I can't say we're there in a year. We sat there 2 years ago and that didn't work.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Benjamin.
Thank you.